flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Had a little college football national championship game last night. Shout out to
Little
to those teams as they let me go to sleep early.
Yeah,
I
Little.
I missed a little comeback too, but you know it's all right, man. Notre Dame came up short. Ohio State wins it. And we were waiting for Notre Dame to lay an egg in one of these meaningful games here, and they did through most of the game last night. But that is the end of the college football season.
Took us like a month. And did you enjoy the experience?
The playoff?
Yeah.
It was okay. It was okay. I mean,
this is a first.
There were a few entertaining games.
That's like saying your first child is.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, I mean, there were a few entertaining games. I mean, it was okay.
Did the Cinderella get her chance?
Who is the Cinderella in this? These are the top 12 ranked teams in the country.
Yeah,
that make it into this thing. So who would that have been? You don't follow this, do you?
Yeah, I do. I'm just saying. I forget which team was it? That SMU.
SMU wouldn't have been considered a Cinderella. It's not the NCAA tournament where 64 teams get in, and the champion from the Midwest South Conference or whatever, as a 16 seed gets a couple of wins in the tournament. No, it's not exactly like that. But
I'm just saying, was it everything that it was built out to be? We've waited like 50 years for this thing.
It was fine.
Fine.
Is that okay? I don't know. Like the opening round did not provide any drama. I thought the games on campus were very cool. The second round, you had some better games, and the championship game was meh. It was okay. I mean,
yeah,
I know Notre Dame made a little run at the end, but it was all right. Can I give it all right? Can I give it like a 5 out of 10? Needs improvement.
Needs improvement. maybe like reseeding.
That's just like on the report card. They can put that like there's like an N for needs improvement.
Yeah.
Can I put that?
Yeah. That'll work.
All right, I'm going to leave you with that one. By the way, we have 3 meaningful football games left, and that's it.
Okay.
And we will not play another meaningful football game.
That's true.
Until September, August, last weekend of August, maybe. Is it week 0 or whatever?
Mm.
So we are out of football just about here, Omar. 3 more games.
I would throw 4. I like
the Pro Bowl in there. Is that what you're doing?
No, Senior Bowl. Pro Bowl is flex football.
Senior Bowl. Okay.
Yeah.
I said meaningful football games.
The Senior Bowl is meaningful.
Games where for the winner there is a meaning. I know that you like to do your scouting and all that good stuff, and I'm not discounting Jim Nagy's game up there. We love Jim, and we love his game, but I'm talking about games that have a meaningful outcome.
I mean,
we are down to just 3 now, with the 2 coming up on Sunday, and then, of course, the Super Bowl in, the Super Bowl is about, 3 weeks from now? Something like that? You get 2 weeks after Sunday.
Yes, it is 3.
A couple of games. So, man. And we got, as Dan, you heard in the update there is plenty, as usual, going on here in the world of sports. We can start with Omar's take on some of these football games, if we would like, Omar. As we did not have you with us yesterday, Dan and I held it down solo on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Solo dolo.
We did. But by the way, it looks like we're starting to get some dominoes to fall here on all these coaching searches as well. I do think we will we'll get to continue to see that. Speaking of that, it looked like Al Golden might be in the mix for the Bengals DC job. I saw.
Yeah,
he might be up and out of Notre Dame. I don't. He's very good as a defensive coordinator. I don't think
Golden.
That's the issue. I like Al Golden. I think everyone is in agreement that Al Golden was a pretty good guy, pretty harmless, right?
No, he was pretty harmful.
Yeah, you got something bad to say about everyone?
No.
What did he do that was so harmful?
Of all the bad coaches that the University of Miami has had in this run, he was the worst.
Yeah, but I would certainly make the argument that he was not handed the best situation to come into. I think most people would be on board with that argument. Don't you agree?
I mean, I can't remember
exactly. Well,
the beginning stages.
Okay, before you crap on the guy, maybe you should remember. But he is not. No, he was not in a good situation. He was not. Nobody was going to see. You put about Nick Saban in at that point in time, and he probably wasn't going to succeed. But Al Golden has done a good job everywhere else he's been. Right? I mean, he was with Detroit for a while there, and he's obviously done a really good job at Notre Dame. That defense was pretty solid. They just ran into a team in Ohio State last night. Speaking of Jim Nagy, since I don't know, his name got brought up here this morning, he sent out a very interesting tweet last night that I saw. And Omar, he said, this marks the sixth straight year where a school with the most NFL draft picks will win the FBS title. 2020 LSU had 14 picks. 2021 Alabama had 10. 2022 Georgia had 15. 2023 Georgia had 10 again. 2024 Michigan had 13. And it says 2025 Ohio State. It just says in parentheses, trust us.
I believe Jim Nagy.
Yeah, saying that Ohio State will end up with the most players drafted come the NFL draft. I'm guessing he knows what he's talking about when he says that. It did look like there was a lot of NFL talent. I saw that someone also said that their payroll is $20 million.
Yeah, they're very transparent. They're transparent that they spend a lot of money on their football program and players on their football program.
That helps them get recruits.
$20 million is apparently the cost
of
doing business.
Worth every penny.
That's a lot of money, man. That is a big payroll.
Would you pay $20 million? Not you, but would you say $20 million for a Hurricanes National Championship was worth it?
I would chip in my share if I could. I give a few hundred bucks, but I guess that's the cost, for a national title. I don't know. I know the other thing is like Notre Dame, I know, does not hit the portal very hard. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not paying guys that are coming out of high school.
I just multiplied divided $20 million by 85 players, which is kind of the number that I'm thinking of. How many scholarships do college teams have again? I can't remember. But it comes down to $235,000.
Well, I'm guessing not evenly split, but.
Yeah, it's not. Clearly, it's not evenly
split. I see what you're saying.
I mean, everybody's walking away with a nice little check there for their labor, which is what I always wanted for college athletics. However, this is crazy. All of this, all of it, it's crazy.
So you have been big on this, Omar, getting these guys paid. I have kind of been in the camp of I do think they should be compensated for name, image, and likeness. I don't like the idea of just straight up paying guys.
Yeah.
And paying them
this free agency
big sums of money up front, and having them come in, and that's
and sign contracts and sign binding contracts to Wisconsin. Okay, it's convenient for you to say you can't enforce it.
Well, you can't
when you benefited from it.
You can't. This is not. I don't care what schools are involved. You cannot sign employment deals with these schools.
A contract isn't a contract
because. You don't know what you're talking about on this one, so I'm not going to. Let you just say stuff.
Hold
and
on,
let
Dan.
It be
hold
true.
On, Dan. Dan. Is a contract a contract?
Dan, you don't have to answer that because, like, again, I'm not going to.
Is
let
a contract
you
a binding agreement that you agree to and I agree to? If we sign a contract,
you cannot, in the NIL era as of right now, sign an employment contract with a program
correct.
Because they don't exist because you're not an employee. So they do not
but
exist.
If I
now,
sign
can you
a
sign
contract.
A deal with a collective? You could sign whatever you want. Does it mean that they have the right to hold you hostage at the school because you signed some sort of deal? It does not.
If and we agree to a two-year deal which states that I'm going to pay you X amount of money for 2 years for your athletic prowess or your commitment
or
your employment.
Who's offering the contract, though, Omar?
Whoever's paying. Whoever's
but
check
that's the
gets
problem.
Deposited.
That's the problem. You can't hold a kid hostage just because you say so or because they sign a deal with someone else. You can't do that. Is the contract enforceable? Can they sue the kid? I don't know.
Well, it's
they
not notarized yet because it's not a law yet. So basically a contract isn't binding until it's notarized, and there is no notary on these contracts yet.
Yeah, so, okay. So again,
thank
there
you,
is
Dan
no,
Day for saving the day.
There is no way to enforce these contracts because there are no employment contracts.
It is just the wild, wild west.
It is
out
the
here.
Wild west. It is the wild west.
We need laws. We need rules.
Someone said not 20 mil, 30 mil. I don't know. I saw 20. I don't know. What's the difference at this point? Mill here, mill there. Like it's like kind of, you know, getting a little bit nutty with these deals. But the University of Miami thing. We can talk about that later in the show if you want, Omar.
I
just don't think you're right on this one. I think you're a little off as far as who is offering the contracts now.
So basically, now the contracts aren't worth the paper that they're signed on.
That's true. But yes. So here's the thing.
So do people have to honor it and say, you know what? I don't like the way you played this year. I'm not going to honor your contract.
Good. Sure.
Yeah. Actually, they did. Yeah.
I guess you could do that in theory. Anyone could do what they want. But what needs to happen is they do need to become at some point. They do need to become probably become employees of the school. And then you could have them sign employment contracts. And then you could hold them to them. If this is the direction they want to go. I don't know what direction this is going to go. I just know that right now there is a kind of a mess going on in college football. And then it may get worse. Like the ACC, I don't know if you saw the ACC came out and they said that they're weighing changes to their title game and the end of their season. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to end up doing. They essentially are trying to make it so that the team that loses in the conference championship game does not get penalized. Because you're playing an extra game, right? And so you should not be penalized for losing an extra game.
Does everybody else get penalized? Every other conference?
Technically, yes. I mean, the SEC, it's debatable. But it said, tell Omar to watch Donna's podcast from yesterday. Lucas's attorney spelled it out. Omar is wrong. Yeah, I'm guessing you had... I didn't catch Dono yesterday, but I'm guessing he had Darren Heitner on, who's the attorney who's handling this thing. But yeah, it's
that you know what, Darren Heitner would be a great person to talk to this morning because I really need to understand.
Then why don't you call him and you can see if he'll.
I probably
he'll talk
do have
you.
His number. Think about it.
But yeah, it's not. It's to be honest, Omar, it really isn't that complicated as far as this deal goes. But
what do you mean it's not complicated? This is the Wild Wild West, man. College athletics. We can sign a contract. It means nothing.
We can continue to discuss this as we go on through the show. Texter says, good morning, Hollywood and Mr. Mittens, Omar. I love listening to you guys from Plainfield, Illinois. Today the weather is a brutally frigid -6. Feels like temperature is -24. Stay warm out there, my friend. Good morning. And I got to tell you, I have a buddy who lives in Milwaukee. He told me the same thing. He said it's going to be like absolutely brutal. He said, I've lived here 4 years now. I live in Miami all my life, and today's the coldest I've ever felt. That's rough, man. That's like you can't go out of the house rough. That's stay inside. Try to stay warm. Yeah, I hope you got a good heater and some blankets and stuff, man. Bundle up there. That is rough. But it's warmer here. What is it, Omar? 65, 70 degrees. It is raining out here today, this morning.
I put on a sweatsuit because people said it was going to be cold today.
Well, it's, you know, people's definition of cold here is a little bit different. If it feels like -25 there and, you know, what is it feels like, you know, it's 65 here. What are we, a difference of like, you know, 85 degrees? It's a pretty big difference. Texas says, wasn't there a recruit who went to Alabama and left before the season started for another school, went back to Bama the next season, and he collected NIL from each school? Guys, there's a lot of madness going on. There are no rules at this moment. It is a total free-for-all. And, yes, people are doing whatever it is they want to do, whatever it is they can get away with. And we are going to continue to do that as long as there are no rules. And unfortunately, what they should have done, now you can't go back in time, but what they should have done is before they unleashed NIL to the world, there should have been some guidelines. There should have been, you know, something to work off of. Unfortunately, they just said go. And you have seen, by the way, I said this yesterday, Omar, the funniest thing about NIL is the big, you know, the biggest beneficiary of the NIL era has been?
Who?
SEC basketball. No one has benefited more than Southeastern Conference basketball from the NIL era. They are loaded in that conference with talent. They have surpassed every other conference by far and away. It is kind of crazy that they have been the biggest beneficiary of the NIL era. All right, we have to take a pause. I do want to get to the NFL stuff with you, Omar. You were not here with us yesterday. You took the day off. We had a lot of stuff in the NFL. We have two games to go on Sunday. And then, of course, the Super Bowl. The Chiefs and the Bills are going to go on Sunday in what could be another classic. That line keeps moving, Dan. I'm just following that thing, man. It's 1, 1.5, 2. It's back to KC minus 2.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Omar sent out the bat signal here. He didn't believe me, so Darren Heitner is going to join us on the show.
It's not a matter of not believing you. I need to understand. I'm a journalist by nature, well, so there are things that I don't understand. I want to know.
Well, he will explain everything to you. Omar tracked him down, and Darren will join us.
Can you imagine getting the 6:30 text and responding to it?
I'm guessing he's been very busy lately here, so But look, very nice of him to respond. Very nice of him to come on and hopefully educate you, educate everyone else on the subject.
On the Xavier Lucas transfer.
I'll give him a lot of credit, man. He has been at the forefront of all of this NIL stuff, and he's got probably got quite a business going with all this NIL stuff as well, because this stuff is just absolute madness right now. And 863 is stretching my no rules thing. He says, if no rules, why can't an NFL player play in college if they re-enroll? And I didn't say there were, there's no rules when it comes to paying the NIL, man. I didn't say there's like no rules at all. It's not a full-on free-for-all.
How many years of eligibility did the UM tight end have? Did he have like 9?
Yeah, but once you go pro, you lose your eligibility.
Technically, Cam Ward went pro and then came back.
No, he did not. Once you go pro,
he declared
for the
draft.
In the pros.
Oh, once you play.
You can also declare in college basketball. You can do that as well. And you can go back, right? They actually encourage a lot of kids to do that in college basketball.
Absolutely.
You check your draft stock, you get your rating and all that, and then you see, oh boy, I can be a first-round pick. I'll go, or you know, hey, you're probably not going to get drafted, maybe you should play another year. And so
Beck's money proves that you can actually make more money starting in college athletics than in the NFL.
You're not joking anymore, man.
I know
it's true, and college basketball is the same deal. I mean, a lot of these guys, so look, making it onto an NBA roster, as we know, is very, very, very difficult. Right, there are not a lot of spots.
That is correct.
Available. What are we talking?
Bronny's there though.
300, maybe 400 spots in the NBA. I don't have
15,
my calculator out this morning,
15.
But I think we're probably talking somewhere in that range, right? It is incredibly hard to make an NBA roster.
480.
and not only to make a roster, but to actually have staying power in that league and not be one of those players that bounces around back and forth from the G League and all that stuff. So if you're telling me I can go play at an SEC or an ACC school for another year and make $1 million, it's probably awfully tempting, right? It's a shorter schedule. It's a much easier life being a college player than being a pro, right? I mean, it's a very strange deal that we have going on right now. And Dan, I got to ask you, there's a texter wants to know when you have time to sleep. You didn't work. Did you work last night? I hope you didn't work last night here.
Yeah, of course. I walked into Funky Buddha at 7 o'clock, good. And the first question I got, where's Hollywood?
I know, you told me that this morning.
I heard you and him on the Joe Rose show, and I said, Mike behind the bar, he was pouring me a beer. He goes, what does Hollywood want? I said, Mike Wood, I'm sorry, dude. He's not coming tonight. He's got kids, and he lives over in Brickell, but one day.
Dan, I haven't been out on a weeknight in a long, long time, my
friend. I went to bed about 1 o'clock, man.
It's been a long time.
1 o'clock.
Yep, last night, man, both of the kids, obviously, were home. We watched a little of the wrestling on Netflix because my son loves to watch the wrestling on Netflix now. That's the new thing. Tough product to watch. Not going to lie. Tough product to watch. He loves it. But very, very difficult product to watch, nevertheless. And then we flipped it over to watch the college football game, which was not particularly intriguing in the first half as Ohio State beat up on Notre Dame. Notre Dame did come back. But Texter says, 954, why couldn't LeBron James go back and play at Ohio State? The whole not considered an amateur anymore. Yeah, that's not.
Once you become a pro, you can't go back.
Yeah, guys, let's stop.
Everybody knows that. Come on.
Yeah, there's still
very few rules that apply, but that one does.
There are a few rules that apply when it comes to paying players at the moment, okay? But there are still, like, the basic rules, and, you know, you're limited. You do get 4 years. I know it doesn't seem that way, but you do get 4 years. That's it. There have been loopholes, we'll say, to get around that. Like, what's happening, like, you see at UM right now, you have Nigel Pack, who plays, he's their point guard, right? Nigel's been here since the Final Four team. If he doesn't play again this season, which it appears that he probably might not, he will get an extra year because there is a certain amount of games that you can play in and still redshirt, and he will get a medical redshirt, and he will get paid to play either here or somewhere else next year.
Okay.
Which for a player like that who is not going to make it in the NBA, it is a very good opportunity, right?
Absolutely. No question about it.
I mean, it's either that or go play, you know, overseas or something, which you could make. Look, those guys make a good living overseas. No question about it. But it's a whole heck of a lot different as far as, you know, making $1 million to go play at an ACC or SEC school, as I just said a moment ago. We have all that stuff going on in the college game. We got the pro games going on as well. We had a very intriguing weekend of NFL football. And looks like coaching searches are underway here. Teams trying to figure out what's what. I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't know if you said something, Omar, but I opened my Twitter yesterday. And it was a vicious back and forth between some Dolphins fans. And you know what I've noticed about
Dolphins fans?
I just want to say this. What I've noticed about Dolphins fans is it's a very hurt fan base.
Yes.
It's a very beat up fan base. And everyone has different ideas how to get to where they want to get to, right?
Everybody has fingers of blame to point to.
Yeah. Everyone's got their own path to greatness, so to speak.
Except for Chris Greer.
He seems to be the common denominator in the screw job that is the Dolphins. It is amazing. It is truly amazing that he continues to be able to stay in that position. And with that being said, I saw some people, and Omar, we can hit on this when we get back, but I saw some, you know, the Dolphins are the top of the salary cap, and they're going to have a real tough time, you know, keeping guys and signing guys. And
mean,
so I want to get your take
on
that.
Okay, in cap space. They're at the bottom in cap space.
The bottom,
yes.
Top of the spending, bottom of the whatever. Yeah, so I do want to get your take on that. texter followed up. He said, Hollywood, you missed my point on LeBron. The issue isn't once you go, it's once you start getting paid, you're not considered an amateur anymore. No, no, I get it. I understand. I understand how it works.
But aren't they all getting paid now? Yeah.
Yeah, no, but once, yeah, I don't know what, maybe I don't know what this guy's trying to say. Once you go pro, you can't go back to college. End of story. That's it. All right, I don't know. We're debating, like,
semantics.
I don't know. Yeah, semantics. You're like, yeah, once you go pro officially, once you lace them up in the NBA, you can't come back. No, LeBron cannot go and play for Ohio State next season.
I wonder if he can play tight end, though.
In college?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not sport. It's not sport specific.
No.
It's
no,
once you
no.
go, you go.
Baseball.
Chris Winkie. Chris Winkie plays baseball, and then he went back to college to play football. I'm saying LeBron is a tight end. Think about it.
Well, you know what?
A 40-year-old tight end.
I am done trying to guess. Trying to guess on all these ridiculous rules. Why don't you ask Darren Heitner if LeBron can play tight end for Ohio State?
I think
ask,
I will.
Ask Darren Heitner. You're going to have him on in a little while here. And Omar, you can ask him every insane question you want to ask. Someone said, why can't Trey Lance go back? Trey Lance throws him in there.
He should be a free agent now, I think, right?
Can we do that when guys don't work out as pros? Can we throw them back in college too? Can we do that? If no one wants to pay them at the pro level, like Josh Rosen, if no one wants to pay him anymore, can we bring him back to college? I bet someone said, I bet Chris Greer will draft a 5'9 receiver in the first round.
Trey Lance is a free agent. Man, can you imagine
that? I'm sure
that?
He is.
We can go get Trey Lance.
J.R. Smith went back and played golf. That is actually true. J.R. Smith did go back and play college golf.
LeBron can play tight end.
So I guess LeBron could play tight end in college. All right. Fair enough. We are not getting a lot accomplished. We're about 35 minutes into the show this morning, and we are not getting a lot accomplished. Darren Heitner will join us in 30 minutes, and hopefully he will drop some educational stuff on people here this morning so we're not just, you know, bouncing silliness back and forth here. We do have to take a pause. I do want to get to this situation, though, Omar. I did see this yesterday. People were talking about it on Twitter, this Dolphin situation with the salary cap. You've been big on this, Omar. This has been in your wheelhouse here as far as the salary cap goes. You warned us. You tried to tell us that things were not good and things were going to get worse. So in fairness, Omar, you were ahead of the game on this. You're ahead of your time on this subject. So we'll try to figure out what is going on with the Dolphins. How can they get this roster better? I guess is the real question here. I know they're going to get some draft picks, but that ain't going to be enough. How are they going to get this roster to a point where they can compete with the teams that we saw play on Saturday and Sunday? That's the name of the game, isn't it? Just waking up, Ohio State did hold on, and they won the College Football National Championship. We have three meaningful football games left on our calendar here. We got two on Sunday, then we'll get a weekend off, and then it will be Super Bowl Sunday. Still, Dan Day, I still think we ought to find a way to make that Monday after Super Bowl Sunday a national holiday. We have a lot of national holidays out there. I feel like this one should be in consideration here. I don't know who handles that department, but I think someone should put that on the desk of, like, whoever that person is. I don't know, like, who in the government is in charge of national holidays. What do you think, the Monday after the Super Bowl?
Should be on someone's platform next right. time they run for president, say, you know, and on the side, I'm a huge football fan. I know this country is huge into football. And in the best interest of this country, we need a federal holiday on the day after the Super Bowl. Yeah.
That's got to be someone's job, though, right? Like, someone comes up with the calendar of, like, stuff, right? I don't know. Doesn't someone make national holidays? I don't know how that works, but anyway.
The president can declare national holidays.
Really?
Yes.
What? 4 years from now, we'll have a Trump holiday right after the Super Bowl.
Well, whatever it is, I don't care who we celebrate. As long as we can get the day after the Super Bowl, it'll be a really nice day.
It's true.
To,
like, what's the
not
point?
Have to wake up, because I will tell you,
no one is doing work.
It's the
dragging.
Worst day to wake up, because it also happens to be the number one overeating day of the calendar year. Right?
Ahead of Thanksgiving, though?
Thanksgiving's different, though. Thanksgiving is like a meal with the family and whatever.
But you're overeating.
But you're eating relatively good food, right? You're eating, you know, turkey and
I don't know,
and vegetables.
There's dessert
eating, like,
there.
You're eating good food. On Super Bowl Sunday,
trash.
You're eating trash all day long, man.
And whatever's
you're
left over.
It's just wings and pizza.
It's wings and it's pizza and it's chips
Popeyes
and it's cookies
chicken.
And it's beer. Okay. And it's basically the anything you can stuff into your face. And I will tell you, I come in and I got the, you know, I can't even keep the food down on Monday. It's just like you just feel so gross after Super Bowl Sunday. And the game is like late now, right? Isn't the game like 5, 6 o'clock, something like that, 4 o'clock? I don't know when
it's definitely
kicks.
Later than that.
It's prime time.
Yeah. So anyway, the guy says put the game a week later, and President's Day weekend is that? I don't know when President's Day weekend. I don't know when any of these holidays are. I usually the only way I find out is I get an email from Len, and he's like, "Do you guys want to work?" And I'll be like, "Well, no, it's football season, so I'm not gonna, you know, probably not gonna be able to take off right now." But anyway, Omar, speaking of football season, I have to ask you this: I saw a lot of stuff yesterday about the Dolphins and the cap.
Yeah.
And I know that you're writing about something at the moment as we speak. Are you really getting after it this morning? Tell me about this Dolphin cap situation.
First, I'll let you know that Ryan Crow, who's one of the Dolphins' top young assistants, he is a candidate to join Mike Vrabel as the defensive coordinator with the New England Patriots.
Mm. They're poaching, huh?
Yeah, we poached. He's a guy who worked for Vrabel's staff, you know, back in Tennessee 6 years, worked his way up. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I definitely think he's one of the top assistants, even though they didn't do that well, particularly from an edge rushing standpoint. But that was because they didn't have all their weaponry. But getting to the question at hand, which is cap space. Right now,
explain this to me like I have no idea.
Okay,
like because I will be honest with you, I don't understand a lot of this cap stuff. I don't know how many people actually do. But explain
this
to me.
Yeah, probably about 10% of the fan base does.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think it's fans' job to know about that. I think that's, you know, the front office and the beat writers and you guys should figure all that nonsense out. I just don't want to hear about we didn't have enough money to sign a backup quarterback. But anyway, continue on, please.
They technically right now, they don't have enough money to sign a backup quarterback.
Okay.
They don't have enough money to do anything, to be honest with you. Right now, the Dolphins are one of seven teams that are over this projected salary cap, even though they don't even have a full roster. You take 90 players to training camp, only the first 51 salaries count in order to begin the league year, which I believe is like first week of March or something like that. Begin free agency, you have to be under the cap. So that means the Dolphins are going to have to purge about $12 million of salary. How they purge $12 million of salary will be exactly what they've done for the last 3 years, which is restructure guys' contracts, shake down players, give guys huge signing and roster bonuses to lower their cap, add more void years to guys' contract, which means more money that they'll owe down the road. And it's basically the equivalent. How the Dolphins have run their organization the last couple of years is what they've done is they've been like this rich kid who goes to school and likes to go shopping and says, "Daddy, I need to go shopping. Can I have one of your credit cards?" And Steve Ross hands you one of the credit cards. Then the next year comes and you max it out. Then the next year comes and he's like, "Daddy, the new thing is out. I need a new iPad or I need a new cell phone." And Daddy applies for another credit card, gets the credit card and hands it to you, and you max that one out. Mm-hmm. Then you know the new whatever. What are kids into now? You know, it's mostly Apple stuff. I'm looking at Dan like he's got kids. What are your kids into now?
They both have iPads.
Oh, okay, yeah. The regular tablet won't do, right? Yeah, I'm dealing with that now.
They like the iPad.
I know.
It's a great device.
I know.
They do a nice job at the Apple company.
You probably have Apple stock. Yes, I know.
I don't, but no, they do a nice job at the Apple company.
So the new iPad is coming out, and you go to Big Daddy Boss Ross, and you say, "Okay. Daddy, I want a new I want a new guard. I want a new I want a new defensive tackle. I want a new I need a new safety.
Gotcha.
And daddy applies for another credit card, hands you another credit card, and you max that one out. So this is now probably gonna be about the fourth credit card that you're maxing out. And what daddy's doing is he's just paying off one credit card with another credit card, and he's just continuing to, you know, pass off the bill till later. Mm-hmm. Eventually the bills are come due. Now, you can live large as long as you kind of want, but then you're eventually going to have to purge the roster, like purge the roster, which is what the New England Patriots did, and they're now like $120 million under the cap. They've got a ridiculous amount of money to spend this offseason to improve their roster. Will they spend it? Probably not. There are a lot of teams like the Raiders. The Raiders never spend their money. Mm-hmm. They've got $92 million in cap space. Now, there are teams like the New England Patriots, like the New Orleans Saints, that are annually bad at this, that are annually what I call who dat coins. They're way over the cap, and then somehow magically they restructure contracts and extend guys and shake down players and release players, and they magically get under the cap. The problem the Dolphins have is there are very few ways that they can actually create cap space. And when I'm saying cap space, it's creating enough money to go sign a new safety or re-sign Javon Holland, creating enough money to go sign a veteran guard. Right now, they're positioned to not do anything because they don't have any money. But you know the Dolphins will eventually, you know, get daddy to max out another credit card. Now, the problem is you don't have many easy avenues to do it. Okay, you could shake down Teron Armstead to move his salary from $15 million to about $8 million, which he did last year. For him to do that again this year, he'd probably be open to it. But then what if Teron says, I'm retiring? Or what if Teron says, I'd rather go play for a serious, legitimate contender? So he's got some leverage in the situation. If he doesn't want to take the pay cut, then you're probably going to have to release him and find yourself a new guard, find yourself a new offensive tackle. Bradley Chubb is an easy route to create cap space. Again, I think you can create like $20 million by releasing Bradley Chubb. Mm-hmm. You don't owe him guaranteed money. But the question is, how do you replace Bradley Chubb if you do release him, even though you didn't have him this year? The ideal thing was, you know, you gave up a first-round pick for him. You would like to at least use him for, like, you know, maybe two seasons. That wouldn't you like that? You haven't had that benefit so far. They're probably going to cut Raheem Mostert. And a lot of these free agents that they have, they probably are not going to retain them and bring them back unless they can find a way to create about $20 to $30 million in cap space, because this team's got some issues, but they've got no money to solve them.
Well, we need to figure this stuff out, Omar. One other thing that we talked about this morning that we do need to figure out, and we'll get back to the Dolphins. Darren Heitner is going to join us. He is the attorney that is handling this situation. We're gonna call it a situation here.
Yeah.
With Xavier Lucas and the University of Miami, University of Wisconsin. Darren has been, I give this guy a lot of credit, man. He has been at the forefront of this NIL thing, and he's been involved since the beginning. So we will speak to Darren when we come back as we kick off the 7 o'clock hour. This should be interesting, Omar. You had a lot of weird questions this morning that I could not answer for you. Hopefully he will be able to answer them. There we go. And Omar, we'll talk a little bit more about this Dolphins deal as well. How can the team improve?